as for a tractor or a combine, but I mean that they were unheard of. And these beautiful, well, we had five at North Dalton, and I always remember, you see, I didn't know anything about this. You go in the stables towards Martimus, and there are these beautiful, well, what do they call these brass things that they
those
had?
Those were martingales. They were martingales that they had down the front.
All polishing them all the ready for Martimus and everything.
Oh, yes.
The Oaken Boxer, Smart and Rosie and Kobe.
And then we had Odd Royal, it was Odd Bullocky's house.
Yes.
Because you see, if you weren't particularly settled, and you'd go in, I think you would stand on a cold day in Driffield Market, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And these bosses would come and
that's
have a
right.
look.
The bosses of the farm foreman would come, look at the lads.
The routine was that you got hired for a year, didn't you, Tom? And then you had what, about 10 days off to a fortnight or something like that. And the place you'd been working at, if you were a decent chap, they would probably ask if you would stop again another year. They used to ask you about a month before Martimus. And if it wasn't a very good place for you, because you said, well, no, you wouldn't be stopping. And so, you see, if irons at Driffield, there used to be a particular Thursday, Martimus Thursday. And that's where the foremen or farmers were looking out for men they wanted to engage for the coming year. And if you accepted, then they gave you a fastening penny, a fest. And which wasn't very much, maybe a couple of bob. But that was your fastening. So you were fastened there for a 12-month. At so much for the year, not so much a week. You just got paid the following Martimus.
What foreman used to take all single men in and board them, all us lads and that, so they were always there on the morning and he could shout out and get up and he had you there. It was something that was done, wasn't it?
Yes. It was called hinding.
At one time, before I can remember, all the labourers used to go in for a month at harvest. It was in with their bargain, like, they used to go and live it, all fed at one place.
Yeah, if you got a good meat house, you were happy, weren't you, Ted?
Yeah.
It used to pass on, didn't it?
Yes.
Are you going to so-and-so's this year? Aye. What's meat house like?
It was that
was it. What was it? What's meat house like? We set off with 12 men in, then we got to 18. And there was 12 men in, you know, normally.
Aye.
Six double beds in one bedroom. It was a big bedroom. And the kitchen table was 24 foot long.
I slept with a little piggy bloke, didn't I?
Tenor.
Tenor, aye, for water. And you slept with...
John
Ives. John
Ives. He used to say...
We were in Foster, Joe was always half canned up, weren't he?
Aye, we slept in that bed with Winder was looking over top of the table.
Aye.
Me and Joe, and he used to come in, because we sometimes had his slum and pinch a bloody tatty, didn't we, David Rose?
I used to go through that, we had to come
and
in through there.
He used to say, did your Uncle Joe, he used to say, bloody great ass, bloody great ass. Half and bed gone again.
Didn't he? On the morning, you got up at 5 o'clock and blackleaded your fireside, and then you put 3 8-pint kettles on, big black ones, you put those on, and you'd burn nothing but stick, little what we call kindling, because you couldn't burn coal, they would never have got boiled. And you had to boil for 7 o'clock for men's breakfast, and then they come in for breakfast. And I used to go upstairs and make the beds. And when they finished, I came down and started to wash up. And then we started cooking dinners.
You used to get up really early, get bloody ushered in.
I was very small to grass. And the
bubbles weren't coming, were they? We'd been working.
You used to get poker for it by your side and thump it under the floor.
Time to get up.
Time to get up.
Aye.
6 o'clock on the morning.
And all the double beds, there were no casters on. There was like tram lines where they used to pull thing across, were ripping floor up. And then Lady Prince Smith come up one day and she said, oh, it's disgusting. So she got them all a single bed apiece, which made more work, and all white towels. And each man had coloured borders. One had lilac and one would have lemon, one would have red, one pink, one blue, one green, and all different colours. and there was two for each man, so one had to last a week. So you know what colour they were like at weekend? No mats at bedside, there were foxes' sacks.
You see, they had to be up early because they had kettles to boil.
They had
big kettles, going on for an hour. Well, they had to light a fire and get them boiled for the chaps coming in for the breakfast.
They used to be them bloody oil lamps, weren't they? Well, you used to sit at slum then, the bloody light, hadn't we?
Only firelight.
Then even the stable lamp out like that, hadn't
you? You would get up, what, about 6 o'clock at morning? And, like, I'm talking about, like, this would be, 1927, 28, 30. Get up at morning, say 6 o'clock, and maybe earlier in harvest. Go downstairs, your boots was at bottom. Stick them on, you hadn't time to lace them.
There weren't any electric.
There was no electric, you had your
you had
stable lamp.
Aye,
that's
stable
right,
lamp, hadn't you?
With your stable lamp, and off you went in the stable, and then you fed your horses, you see, then mucked them out, took them to the pond for a drink, and so on, then mucked them out, and so on. By the time you got that done, foreman was shouting, it was breakfast. You said breakfast, you know, didn't he, Tom? And then you went in for your breakfast, and you came out from there at maybe 10 to 7, and then you were ready for starting work at 7 o'clock.
Breakfast was always cold meat and pie and bread and butter. And each man had his own dinner plates and a pudding plate. My mother wouldn't let him eat off the same plate. And then they had mugs. At first we had basins, but then they had mugs at finish.
About being a young lad, that was one of the rottenest jobs, Tom, was putting the blooming collars on horses.
Aye, well, if they were awkward, weren't
they? They were. Because, like, you weren't very big, and the collars, you know, are great big things, and they're shaped, you know, they're wider at bottom than they are at top. But you see, horses' heads are the way about, so you had to put them on upside down, so the wide piece went over the horses' eyes, you
and
know,
that, and then turn them round and then turn part of their neck.
And then turn them over. Well, some of them blooming horses, they knew you were a young lad, and they had their heads right up yonder. Well, you were lifting the blooming of it. Wasn't it a rotten job?
And some of them would bite, you know.
Or some of them would bite.
We just had a 12-inch pan, a tin pan, and two steamers. We used to put them on the fire with no electric ovens then, no electric light. Put them on there, and the bottom one used to have turnip in boiling. And the two top ones had potatoes in. And then we had a big bowl.
The lad used to get the worst horses there was. They used to get the real old ones. And we used to call them farcy-legged. And all their fetlocks, you know, it hits as soon as they touch a trace, they would start rubbing.
And kicking.
Kicking. And then suddenly your trace would come off and you were getting out. And so just the first day or so of plowing was a bit of an adventure for a lad. And I remember then, we kept plowing all day. And then, what time did we knock up at night? Was it 5 o'clock then?
Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
Be 5 o'clock in winter.
Well, you were on about maybe 14 years earlier than mine.
And I remember it got dark and we were still plowing. And I thought, well, you see, the foreman would have the first plow and then a wag. And then you took it in rotation. I was last, you see. I thought, well, when we get to top end, he'll be stopping because I couldn't see properly. But he didn't. He was going back down the other side for another ton, you see. So, me being a lad, I said, can I stop at top end, foreman, because I can't see? I'm not going to tell you just the exact words he used. And so that was the first adventure about me plowing, Tom says. And it was a nice, easy job once you got used to it.
And then at tea time, we used to make bacon cakes on enamel plates, and they used to have a piece of that, and then we used to put big apple pie, plum pie, maybe a prune pie, and a raisin pie on, and they were cut into four or into six, depending on the size of the plate. And if they were hungry, they used to come and knock at round door for some more. And they had bread and butter, if they had roast beef, cold meat, and maybe ham. And when it was eggs, you boiled two dozen in a pan.
And the women, occasionally they would go out to work, and I remember my mum used to go digging dockings, of all things, and they had like a little two-tined fork.
A ducking prod.
A ducking thing with a step on, didn't you? Put your foot on
a ducking prod.
And dug your duckings out. They did like that. And then they used to go gleaning a lot in harvest, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like gathering corn up for it in fields for chickens.
It was all they call it loking.
Yeah.
Blacksmith used to bake from Driffield every week. I think it was on a Wednesday or a Friday. And he used to always come for his dinner. And then if Shepherd, Ernest Body, was doing aught with sheep, docking sheep or lamb, we had all lunches to provide for him.
Aye, half clip shape behind. Many and many hundred. I wish I had as many tons as hundreds I've clipped. It's been hard work. Satisfying, but hard work. If you could clip 40 a day, you'd have beyond this. Was,
aye.
But you see, tint clipping, it's sharpening.
Yes.
It was being able to sharpen your shears, you see. That was the main thing. You see, at one time they used to wash them, and wool was washed where, if they were washed, you used to lift up. And if it was real warm weather, they were greasy, and you could, they'd run better. But like in a real cold weather, well, you didn't really reckon to clip yours when it was cold, but they wouldn't go at all. They were clumsy out. But if you got them comfortable, there's no problem. As long as you got it laid comfortable, you could...
As long as it wasn't sat on its tail.
Well, if you got plenty of first side, and you could reach like I could reach, there wasn't much left up to the side, and your son were kicking them off.
That's right.
It was a difficult job for harder men then, because the young men was coming up, and they were tractor drivers, and they were also, I could do...
Yes, and they could do their job.
Do everything else, which wouldn't apply now. No. They were just at that awkward spot where they couldn't take tractors and machines. And of course, they finished up, they really wanted a job for them. That was crux in matter, wasn't it?
I went to work among cows. We used to take them up Hoggett Road here. Yeah, I brought them cows up once or twice on the morning when I was coming home from dances. There was muck all over what they would say nowadays, I don't know. Oh, yes, I remember one day bringing the cows back. Fella behind us, pipping his horn. I don't know what he said, but I can't remember. This cow stopped and he pulled right up to it. He sat on the bonnet.
There was quite a few people had cows then. I mean, Harry Dulston would have one. And
people had cows who hadn't any grass.
Yes. And they wanted a lad to look after them during the day. And lad used to turn them down out in the street, take them to pond for a drink maybe, and then say drive them up Bucket Road. And then lad had nothing else to do except make sure they didn't go through any open gates.
Well, but fields. Lad was generally 65, weren't he?
Oh yes. Right. Well, like a baby, there was someone who was younger, because I mean, I remember doing it for a day or two. It was a job I always wanted.
Aye.
And I remember doing it. And there was no bother unless there was any bees swarming, and then they would gallop away. But apart from that, like,
they were hungry, weren't they?
Oh, they were hungry, you see, and they just grazed all day, and you brought it back into the village before 1 o'clock time, and that was it, and that was your cow tending, or cow tending as we called it.
When it was harvest, we had 100 lunches a day, 50 in the morning and 50 on afternoon. And we used to give them a sauce of cheesecake or something, size of that. Was either ground rice or my mother did nothing all harvest but stand and bake, and I used to do all the other work. And they had bacon cake every morning for lunch, and then they had either jam, ground rice, curd or fruit pie for their afternoon lunch. And we had 2 dozen bottles. We used to laminate bottles to bottle up for tea to go into the fields, and so many cans for stackyard. And I had 400 chickens to look after at the same time. 3 times a day, I had to say to them.
Well, you used to have Irish labour, didn't you?
Aye, we did.
And then after Irish labour, we had prisoners, hadn't we?
Aye, the Italians and Germans.
We really had some good German prisoners, you know. There was one lad who was only 17, same age as me, and he'd been up front and taken prisoner, and he was still only 17.
Yes, aye.
He was a nice lad.
But
he was a nice lad. You could have taken him for a mate better than some that you were working
with.
Yes, you
could.
They were good workers, weren't they, Ted? Yeah. Right, yeah, they were. Never had any trouble with none of them, had you?
No.
And they used to say to my mother, when they used to bring them, you see, in a truckload, they'd take them and swap them about. They didn't let them step off along in a place. You don't give them anything, missus. Not a cigarette, no nothing. You make them work. My mum used to say, well, there's somebody's pockets.